Your Partner in Success Radio is a free business podcast with host Denise Griffiths. It's all about great stories, conversation, and context to help you move your business and life forward with actionable tips and advice from her guest experts. To listen and subscribe, just find us on iTunes, Google Play, or wherever you consume your podcasts.
Welcome to Your Partner in Success Radio. I'm your host, Denise Griffiths, and today I get to welcome back Mike Capuzzi. He's been here before, but we decided it was a very long time ago. It's embarrassing how long ago it was, 2013, I believe, and I apologize for that, Mike, but anyway, you're here today, and today he's going to share with us how authoring, publishing, and leveraging short, helpful books, he calls them shooks, can help attract new customers and improve your sales processes. Now, Mike Capuzzi is probably somebody you know or have heard of or have used his products. He's an author, publisher, and a coach for business owners and sharp, aggressive entrepreneurs who are looking to get to the next level in their business. And to date, he has helped thousands of business owners create more profitable marketing through, you know, different ventures. Mike is the inventor of the wildly successful software product, CopyDoodles. I know y'all have heard of that. They are hand-drawn graphic files that enable anybody, literally anybody, to drag and drop attention-grabbing enhancements to their offline and online marketing materials. And tens of thousands of business owners, marketers, and copywriters have benefited from the use of CopyDoodles. So this year, 2019, he launched Bite Size Books, which is a new publishing venture founded on his proven formula for creating short, helpful books for Main Street business owners. Shooks are ideal for business owners who are looking to increase their level of authority while also providing helpful information in bite-sized books. I have Main Street Author, which is a shook, on my desk. We're going to talk about that. Mike, welcome back to Your Partner in Success Radio. It's good to have you here.
Denise, thank you very much. And when you mentioned it was 2013, I cannot believe it. That's crazy.
I know.
But it's good that we.
I did the same. I went back and said, "Are you sure?" Because it's like, I know this guy. How did we miss, you know, from 13 to 19? What the heck? So.
Well, you know, and what's really amazing, it just shows you the power of these kind of connections, and obviously podcasting. But you know, we obviously track different things online, and you know, watching how certain phrases and how our name is being used and all that with Google alerts. And if you still type in CopyDoodles, our interview from 2013 pops right at the top. It's amazing. All these years later, you know, it's still a very relevant conversation that we had way back when.
Hey, I am so proud of me. I had no idea.
There you go.
I had no idea that I had, you know, put in the right keywords. Yay us. So yeah, I'm really glad to have you back. And thank you for sending me your shook. When I saw this, I went, what? You know, what in the heck? And then, of course, the book landed on my desk, and I'm in love with it. And we talked about it in our pre-interview, and chances are I need a shook, too. So we'll talk about that down the road.
I've
always got a book
you.
Or two that I'm thinking of but never do anything with it.
Well, shook can solve that for you because, you know, again, they're much quicker to write. And, again, we can talk about that. But, yes, you most definitely could have a shook or a couple of shooks working for you.
Oh, no doubt. Once I started reading this, I went, oh, and I started scribbling on my little – I have index cards that I love. Mm-hmm. And I like to write on index cards because I can stack them, I can sort them. And then when I'm done, I can shred them, which is very cathartic for me, which tells you more than you probably need to know about my OCD. But anyway, well, listen, before we get moving, tell people a bit about yourself that they may not know beyond CopyDoodles. And then let's talk about how you came up with this idea, because it is brilliant, and how it can really help people.
Okay. Well, you know, I am starting into my third decade of working for myself, so in the context of time going so quickly, you know, worked in corporate America. I actually have an engineering degree, worked in the software industry for years, and then went out on my own in 1998 and started my own marketing consulting company. And I've had different focuses throughout the years, but geez, now for almost 20 years, have really focused, Denise, on helping traditional small business owners and medium-sized business owners. I have worked with very large companies, but really my passion is helping what I call Main Street business owners, the kind of, you know, businesses that you used to find on Main Street. And just have coached them. I've done all kinds of things. I mean, Copy Doodles, as you mentioned, and I appreciate that. Copy Doodles was just a unique tool that I developed for myself years and years ago. And a very smart gentleman saw them for something I was doing for myself and said, hey, you know, you think you should might think about, you know, wanting to sell these to other people. And geez, we're now, that was 2007. So, you know, we're 12, 13 years ago and we still have, you know, tons of members, people still use them, people still love them. And that really put me on sort of the global stage of, you know, being recognized as a marketing expert. And, I like to come up with simple strategies to help, you know, just the everyday business owner. Obviously, there's lots of opportunities for people to have tons of money to spend.
No, it looks like we lost him. Mike, if you can hear me, call back. You have managed to drop somehow. But anyway, what we're going to talk about while we're waiting for him to call back is what is his definition of a Main Street author. I have some ideas about that, but I'm really wanting to know what he thinks and how far off I may be. And what are his three top reasons why a Main Street business owner should consider being a published author? Again, I have some ideas or questions on that. And what are the main differences between a Shook and a book? I know that one because I have books and the Shook on my desk. This, you wait till you see. These is really cool. And then he has what he calls a Shook special sauce. And then, if we have time, he's going to describe one of the most powerful ways a local business owner can leverage a Shook to grow his or her business. So as soon as we get him back, we'll start talking about that. But let me describe this book to you. It's small, as, you know, what you would think would be a small book, because it's not, oh, it's not a book, which just sounds kind of silly, but it's really easy to read. It's like, I don't know, I'm trying to describe it without, watch my thing here at the same time, my dashboard. Hey, are you there?
Okay. Yeah, I don't know what happened.
I don't know, but I lost you. And just about the time I was starting to stumble over my own tongue, you popped back up. Thank God.
Gosh, and I don't know what you lost me. I was going on and on and on.
You just dropped the whole call, dropped and went, oh, geez. So anyway, thank you for saving me from my own lunacy. I appreciate it.
I don't know. And I don't know where you lost me, but I'll be quiet and start back up where did we drop out there?
Well, we dropped out basically where, you know, I was asking you how did you do this? We were talking about Copy Doodles. We got to the point where you had, you know, said that Copy Doodles, you know, people wanted them. It was still doing really, really well. And then we were going to go on to just what is a bite-sized book, and then I was trying to describe it and couldn't manage it, even though I have it in my hand. It's the end of the year. What can I say? I'm tired. We're all tired, I think.
Yeah, and I don't, you know, I do my own podcast, and I've been on podcasts, and, you know, we're having some funky weather here, but it's not too bad. But anyway, I'll keep a better eye on that. And but if you were talking about Shooks and bite-sized books, really, Denise, what that is, it's an answer to the challenge that there's a lot of people can use a book in their business. I don't care if you're a doctor, a chiropractor, an insurance agent, you run a gym. I just talked to earlier this week on my podcast, I interviewed a gym owner who wrote a book. You know, books are still a very powerful device, so we can talk about that. But the complexity and where do I start and do I really have enough to write about and, you know, where, you know, all that kind of stuff kind of goes away with a bite-sized book, a Shook, because it's a very formulaic strategy for helping people like yourself, like myself, craft a short, helpful book and do it quickly. And more importantly, do it in such a way that the reader can read it in about an hour.
Well, I have to ask you, I have, and this is going to sound bizarre, but you're talking about Main Street authors. And I live in a very small town. It's really a village. And I'm not too far from, you know, the Gulf of Mexico. I like it. It's quiet. It's, you know, the sugarcane fields. This is how I want to live. But there is a tiny, and I do mean tiny, little dry cleaning establishment on Main Street. We only have one. Everything else is, we only have one street, truly. So every time I see it, it's a fascinating little building. It's probably, oh, it's well over 100 years old. And they just propped it up. It was leaning pretty bad. But it has been, as far as I can tell, in the same hands for decades, generations. And my thinking about a little place like that, nobody really cares about dry cleaning, right? You do a good job, you don't do a good job, you know, you hear about it on Yelp. But this place has so much history. I would think that just the history of the building, the history of the family, the history of how they've, you know, gone from different types of dry cleaning, and I would read that. I really would. So is that what you mean by Main Street?
Well, it could be. I mean, interestingly enough, I am talking to a gentleman, and he put it off till the beginning of the new year, who is a dry cleaner in Florida, who has one location and wants to do a shook. And his reasons are he's always wanted to do a book. You know, he thinks there's a story to tell about his business. And so, yeah, I mean, now those types of businesses can most definitely do, you know, craft a shook. And there's lots of good reasons why. So, yeah, it could be as simple as a retailer. I've worked with mattress retailers, all kinds of businesses. I mean, the point is we all – and what we typically do as a business owner is we help people in a certain way. We help people in unique ways. We help people with our products or services. We have a history. And all of those are leverage points that can be shared in a short book to help differentiate yourself, because most of us have competition. And the more we can personalize our story, the more we can share helpful information, it just changes the playing field when it comes to, do I use this dry cleaner or do I use that dry cleaner? You know, am I just looking for coupons? You know, what are the buying decisions? So, yeah, most definitely, Denise, I could see someone like that crafting a short, helpful book.
And see, that makes sense to me because every time I go by there, I've only been in there once. I mean, I really don't have a need for dry cleaning any longer, haven't for a very long time. But I was in there one time, and, you know, I really wanted to ask questions like, how old is this and what's the history? But it was so blooming hot. This is the Deep South. Walking into an old dry cleaner's not fun. And I was pretty sure right. I was either going to faint or throw up or do both, so I couldn't stay. But reading about it would be fascinating for me, but I'm a history buff. So I completely get where you're going with this. You know, people do have a history, they do have a story, but they also need to help people. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about the top three, and I kind of went down these while I was waiting for you to come back in. You've defined Main Street author for us. So what are your top three reasons why a Main Street business owner should become a shook author?
Mm-hmm. Well, I would say, first and foremost, even in today's day and age, people treat authors with a different level of respect. I don't know about you, but I know when I meet someone who has written a book, instantly my perception changes when they're handing out their book, when they let me know their book is available. I was just at a fundraising event not too long ago, and the MC mentioned he had he had written several books, and he had them for sale. And I bought every one of his books after the event was over, just because, you know, the topic was interesting to me, and I got a chance to meet him. I got a chance for him to sign them, and that is still a common occurrence, you know, whether you're a famous person or whether you own the local insurance agency. People treat people who have taken the time and effort to write a book differently. So I think that's really the number one reason. Being a book author is, you know, a unique strategy to differentiate yourself. And chances are, and this leads me to the second reason, chances are your competition has not done it. The likelihood of the person who you are competing with at your local level, you know, writing a book is pretty slim. Most people don't, you know, don't even think about it. Most people don't put in the effort. Most people don't, you know, really try to differentiate themselves in that unique way. So immediately you could be, you know, the person who wrote the book on whatever the topic is in your town. A third reason, Denise, is that a book-centric marketing strategy, which that strategy has been around for over 100 years. And you, I know you've seen the free book offers. I mean, in my own historical, and I'm a history buff too, my own, you know, looking backwards, I have found advertisements back from the very early 1900s that offered free books as a mechanism to get an interested prospect to raise their hand and request more information. So a book-centric marketing strategy enables a business owner to advertise and market and sell at a higher and more sophisticated level where you are attracting people instead of pursuing them. And that's a key differentiator, that attraction process. So really, it's about a more sophisticated way of getting out there. It's not just about, hey, here's our features and benefits, which is how most business owners market. It's about a higher level of, you know, offering helpful information first. And then really a quick bonus one would be, in today's day and age, technology has made authoring and publishing a book much easier and much more cost effective. So those are a couple of reasons why I think everyone listening to this should really consider becoming a book author.
Oh, listen, I agree. And you and I were chatting a couple of weeks ago, and I said, you know, I really do have a couple of books in me, at least a couple. And then I open up my blank page, and it's an epic blank page, and I just lose my marbles. It's like, what the heck? And, you know, I can write, I can talk, I can chat, but I go to open that page and my keyboard just goes, not today. And I have no idea what that's all about. Maybe I'm afraid of it. Maybe I have imposter syndrome. Who knows? We all have a reason why we can and should write a book, and we all have exactly the same reasons why we shouldn't do it, don't we? So,
yeah.
The shook, I think, is an easier way to at least get started. I mean, I looked at yours and went, I could do that. Oh, piece of cake. And I can do it. I've opened it up. I've got sticky notes all over it. And I'm going, geez. I mean, what you're talking about, you know, you've got a chapter called 12 Shook Ideas to Consider Publishing. And one of them, of course, is just rework the content you've already got. And we have, all of us who are doing this kind of work, we've got content. So let's talk about that a bit.
Sure. And Denise, I would challenge you. And I get it. Listen, I get it. I think most people put, you know, really unrealistic stress on themselves when it comes to writing a book. Now, listen, I love books, right? And I have traditional books that are 300, 400 pages, and they're, you know, New York Times bestsellers and all of that. That's not what we're talking about here. We are talking about a short, helpful book that can be read in an hour. It should only take a few weeks at most to craft, and it follows a very specific formula, so you know what you need to write. And it really is just meant to help a person that has a very specific problem or challenge, or they want a very specific thing to get that. So instead of writing about everything you need to know about business or helping business owners, it's one specific topic. So, you know, just I would challenge you and anyone else listening, this is not some big cumbersome type of thing. It's about helping people. When you put the focus on helping the reader, the person that you're writing the shook for, and helping them get what they're looking for, it becomes a much easier task to create. Plus, I give in Main Street Author, which you have, a very specific formula of what pieces you need to write. So I would challenge you. I know you have at least one, if not more, short, helpful books in you.
Oh, I know I do as well. You know what? When you first started talking to me about this, I went, huh. And my brain went immediately to, and I don't know if they still exist, but used to be when you were in the grocery store there by the checkout stand, there were these little tiny, I guess they were called pocketbooks. Mm. The little mm-hmm. small books, and they had one topic, they were about one thing, and they took you from how to do this, whatever it was, whether it was a sewing pattern, where it was, you know, maybe an apple pie, whatever it was. And I, you know, when I started envisioning what a shook was, I thought, I wonder if it's kind of like that in how it's presented. You get the title, it's going to tell you exactly what it is that you're going to get. You open it up, it's easy to read, it's easy to follow, and you've got it. You've got the information you were looking for.
Yeah, and
am I
far
off with that?
What's that? No, I mean, and I'm familiar with those. I would say the difference being, and I was very intentional about this, is that a shook, the kind of shooks we create for our clients or that I write about in Main Street Author and such, they are real books. So when they're sitting on a bookshelf, they look like books that you get on Amazon or your local bookstore. Whereas, you know, some of the more smaller books, some look more like pamphlets. And they again, they're a strategy. I'm not knocking them. I have created those. But what we've done is we've created something that looks like a real book because it is a real book. I mean, it has text on the spine and there's a minimum of about 100 pages. But what's, you know, and they're a little bit smaller in size. So if you, you know, with your copy of Main Street Author, you'll see it's a paperback book. It's not a little book, but it's also not the traditional 6x9 or 5.5, 8.5. So it's just, we wanted a bit of a pattern interrupt. It is a real book. But what's even more important is that it follows a very specific direct response marketing formula, Denise, because so many people who do actually write a book for their business make very fundamental mistakes, and we correct those in a shook, and we make sure not only does it help the person, but it also, you know, the reader, but it also allows the reader to, you know, get more information or, you know, do the very next step that you believe they should do. So a lot of authors really miss that. They just kind of write their book thinking, okay, I wrote the book, and the reader's kind of left high and dry saying, you know, what do I do next if I want more information or if I want to, you know, take advantage of this? So these are very specific formulas that we use to make sure the reader knows what to do next.
Well, and as an example, I'm looking towards the back of your book, and you know, you say you're asking for a small favor. Thank you for reading Main Street Author. I'm positive if you follow what I've written and shared with the bonus training, which, you know, I skipped over that, but we can talk about that. You will be on your way to becoming a Main Street Author. And then, you know, you're asking for reviews. You're telling people where they can find your podcast. I mean, you're being very diligent about where people can find you, follow you, and get mm-hmm. more information if they need it. And you're right. I mean, I read a lot of books. I'm a voracious reader. I read them on Kindle. I have bookcases full of books. I have garage full. You know, I've got two wall-to-wall bookcases in my garage of all places. I probably have, I think last count was about 3,000 books. And then I've got And I've collected them all of my life. And I've got well over 9,000 mm-hmm. Kindle books. I read. And what I was trying to explain to the audience while we were waiting for you to come back in was, and you just did it beautifully, thank you, what the difference was between a regular book, even if it's a paperback book, and this book. So this is a book, but I love the size. I have to tell you, it's purse size. I can drop this mm-hmm. in my bag
yes.
and you know
yes.
head to wherever it
yes.
is that I'm going to go. And I've never, even though I have a Kindle, you know, I have Kindle app on all of my mm-hmm. my devices, mm-hmm. I've never gotten out of the habit of having a physical book on me, ever.
Mm-hmm.
And this is like the perfect mm-hmm. size to carry with you.
Well, I appreciate that because you would not believe, again, I mentioned I have an engineering degree. So I'm very thoughtful. I'm very, you know, I look at things and I analyze things and I try to come up with, you know, a better mousetrap, if you will. So that size is very intentional, Denise. So I appreciate the fact that you even mentioned that. You know, I've done trainings about shooks, and I even say it fits in a purse. It fits in a briefcase. I actually keep a little box in my car because I never know who I might meet. So they're not these big, bulky books. But more importantly, one of the strategies that Main Street authors should be using is direct mail. So whether it's, you know, sending the book out cold, or a better strategy is having someone request, you know, the book, the shook, it allows us to create a very specific type of direct mail package that's less costly to mail because it's a smaller book. It's a thinner book. And it fits in certain types of envelopes that we recommend. And there's been a lot of thoughtfulness given to that book size and even inside how the book is designed and laid out. So I appreciate you mentioning that.
Well, I have, like I said, I have a lot of books, and I have this one will go into my author bookcase, which is right behind me. It's in my office and it's packed. I'm going to have to start a new one. I've got so many author books that people have been on my podcast. But something that you did too, which is what is inside the book, which comes inside the book, which I think is, my mouth overran my brain there. What I started to say is I've got a ton of books, and I've got some of these pamphlet books. They've got no spine. Mm-hmm. I can't ever find them.
Mm-hmm.
And they're good little books. There's nothing wrong with them. They're not easy to spot when you're looking. They're impossible to spot if you're looking for them. So I don't recommend those at all. I've got a stack of them, and I have to keep shifting around going, okay, what's in there? Because I can't look at the spine.
Yep.
I need spines. I need to be able to see. You know, I can tell by the color what's on the spine. I know who wrote what. I've read these books.
Yes.
But what you did, so I got that out of the way, but what you did, which I found very smart, was when I opened the book, there's a card in there. It's, you know, you've created a card called Bite-Sized Books, and it's a thank you card. It's blank. And then there's, I guess this would be a postcard, but it's a front and back postcard. It's really not. You can't mail it. So it really tells you everything about the book, everything about you. You can meet a few authors, and then your business card. These, to me, are just almost as important as the book itself, because now you're telling people why they should read this book. They've got it, but you know as well as I do, a lot of people get a book and they never break the spine. I think Napoleon Hill said that, you know, his book was the most, you know, was the most sold book in the world practically, and the most unread, because people didn't break the spine, which to me is heartbreaking.
Right. Yeah, and what you're referring to is sort of I call it a wow package, W-O-W, with an exclamation mark, so wow. So that is we actually did everything from a box design. So one of the ways we send out our shooks is we had custom printed color boxes designed specifically for our shooks and the size. And then we put stuff in that box that goes along with the shook, again, right, to help the person who's getting it, give them, you know, some key points and things like that. So that's a higher level package that we use at various points and, you know, for, you know, marketing and such like that. And then, you know, a more simple way is we just put them in a padded envelope, and a colored padded envelope. We use gold because there's gold inside. You know, we always try to convey the wisdom, and it's worth its weight in gold type of thing. So, but, you know, using those different tools, bookmarks. I mean, bookmarks are a real smart strategy. So, you know, these are all little smart things that we talk about, and they're very inexpensive to do, by the way, which is key. And they just really help the readers, because it is about the reader. I don't know about you, Denise. I don't subscribe to the notion personally. And there's a lot of people that say this that are helping other people write books for businesses. Hey, you don't care if anyone reads it. You just want a book. You just want something that you can hand out like a business card.
Oh, no.
Who really cares?
No, I do not subscribe to that.
You've heard that, correct?
Oh, gosh, yeah. And it drives me crazy.
I don't get that.
Why go to the trouble?
It drives me crazy. Right. And listen, there's a segment of the population that doesn't care, and they just want the perception. But that's why I came up with Shook, short, helpful book. If I have helpful information that can help you, I'm working with a gentleman right now. He's crafting a shook. He helps. He's a lawyer who's no longer practicing law. He was, I think, up in New York City, so a very stressful job. He now helps people with meditation to learn how to meditate. And he actually has a studio, a physical bricks and mortar business where people come in and learn to meditate. He is crafting a shook, Denise, on the very specific topic of insomnia and how a very unique breathing strategy that he has developed on so a breathing technique to help people who can't fall asleep or who wake up in the middle of the night. That's a perfect shook. Very specific topic. It's going to help a very specific person. And the person who has that problem, we want them to read that shook because we know we can help them. So this idea of like, just put whatever in between the covers, it doesn't matter, that's baloney. So I just had to get that off my chest. But, you know, we want people to read these. But we want them to read them quickly, about an hour. And, you know, people are all busy today. And if they can sit down and have that undivided attention for about an hour or so, it's going to help them and it's going to help you, the author.
Exactly. And if they know that they can absorb this information in about an hour, and I don't know if you do this, I will read something really, really quickly. I'm a speed reader, have been. I started reading at 3. I remember when I got to kindergarten, the teacher asked my mom who taught me to read. And my mom said, well, she did. And the lady looked at her and said, well, are you sure? How does she learn to teach herself to read? And my mom looked at her real funny and said, well, we didn't tell her she couldn't read, which I thought was brilliant. And I love to read. I mean, I read myself to sleep. I read myself awake. Yep. I read in wherever I am, I'm going to read. I even read cereal boxes. I hate cereal. To me, you might as well just lick the box. You know, that's as much.
You and I are very similar, Denise. That's so funny. Yeah, I hear you. I do the same thing.
Crazy. But my point was going to be, if I ever got there, was that if I know in my head that if I can read a book or scan it, well, I'll scan it in about 10 minutes. And I pick out the points that I really want to go back to. And then I set aside that hour because I've already said, okay, I can do an hour. No problem. And then I go back and I go page by page. I start marking it up. You know, I yellow sticky notes, pen, ink. And I will destroy books. I actually like to read them on Kindle so I can mark them and highlight them.
Right.
Because I don't like to break books in pieces like that. But so I try to always go get the book in Kindle. You know, if an author has sent me that and it's available on Kindle, I'm going to go get it there as well. But once I've made that decision, say, oh, I only need an hour for this, okay, grab my note cards, you know, my index cards, and I will pick apart what I really need to know and start working on it. And it's easy because I've already given my permission, like it's only an hour, piece of cake.
Yeah.
So I love the idea of these books.
Yeah. And there's a hidden benefit to that I'd like to share. Can I share that?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, so as the author, again, you want people to read your book, your shook. And, you know, I'm like yourself. I get people to send me books. I'm a voracious reader. I'm looking at my bookshelves here as we're talking. And I know what it's like to get a book, start it, and then sort of stall out. Right. Even if it's something that I want to read, it's just for some reason it's very laborious. For whatever reason, they're just repeating themselves, or, you know, especially if they're doing a traditional book, a lot of times publishers have page count requirements. So there's a reason why they keep repeating themselves. But imagine if a reader, just like you said, Denise, they know it's only going to take them about an hour. They can get what they want in that hour. And what happens is the reader themselves has a sense of accomplishment. I mean, I don't know about you, but even today, when I read a book that I wanted to read and I actually finish it, I feel a sense of accomplishment. I feel like, hey, that's good. And hopefully, I've gotten some good, helpful, and useful information. But if we can help readers achieve that sense of accomplishment instead of, oh my gosh, there's a 300-page book I have to go read, you know, and wade through. I call them books with bloat, B-L-O-A-T, books with bloat. Again, I'm not knocking them. I love books. I have those books. They have a time and place. But for most traditional business owners and Main Street business owners, a short, helpful book is a much better way to craft a book.
Oh, I agree. And it goes back to those little books you saw at the grocery stands. Like, oh, I need to know how to make a pie crust, which I never did learn how to do, by the way. It's like, no, I'll just buy it in the process. I'll cook anything.
Right.
Don't ask me to bake because I don't take instruction. Well, that's all there is to it. But, you know, you could grab these little books, and I'm not sure I don't still have some somewhere in the garage.
Mm-hmm.
And they would tell me exactly what I needed in, what, 10 pages, 20 pages, if. And I didn't have to go any further. Now, this was before you could, you know, go to Pinterest and get recipes and, you know, do it. They were right there, and they had a place. They really did. But they were quick, easy, and instructive. And that sounds to me like what a shook is. It's quick, easy, it's instructive, it solves the problem. It's going to do it in a way that you can understand and absorb quickly, and then you're off to the next crisis, whatever it is.
Right. And again, it gives the reader a next step action, which I want to make sure people get, because again, so many book authors make this mistake. They just write a book and they don't tell the reader what to do next, or they don't offer a pathway. So every shook, and you see it there in Main Street Author, Denise, every shook has at minimum two pathways for a reader to take. So we have what we call our active pathway. That's the pathway for the reader who says, geez, I love what Mike is saying here in his shook. I need to find out if I can do a shook for my business. So in Main Street Author, my active pathway is let's book a phone call. Let's, no pun intended, let's schedule a phone call and see if there's a reason we should work together. So that's my active pathway. So for the person, the reader who really wants to get started quickly, he or she takes that pathway. The pathway for the person who just is not quite sure yet, and is this really for me? I'm interested in what Mike says. And again, this could be any shook author. We offer what we call the passive call to action, the passive pathway. And that is typically, hey, go online. Here's some more information. Here's, you know, more helpful information. I'll give it to you in exchange for your name and email. So the traditional opt-in offer. And that allows us to build a database. That allows us to do follow-up marketing. So those two pathways are, you know, something that makes a shook different than a traditional business book. And regardless if you do a shook or not, Denise, you're going to want to make sure you offer those types of pathways in the book that you write.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, I do that. You know, I just bought a book from a very well-known marketer. It was, you know, pay the shipping and you get the book. Well, the book arrived and I haven't read it yet, which is embarrassing. Mm-hmm. It's a book that I want to read. It's sitting over there under a cat. I saw him sitting on it a little while. Well, it's getting some use anyway, so, you know, I have to go read that book. I really do want to read it, but it's a lengthy tome, which means I have to set aside time. Time is something that we're all worried about, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And listen, I'm no different. And it's funny, you and I are book readers, and here you say, I have the same thing. I have a book from a well-known internet marketer that I just got. Same thing. And it was sent to me.
Same guy. We'll have to talk after the show.
It may be, but
this
one's 400 pages. And I'm like, what? And these are smart people. They know. And again, maybe they're just like, hey, maybe someone will go through it. Or, you know, again, nothing wrong with those books. I personally have not created one of those. And I've published now, I think, 7 or 8 books, shooks. You know, there is a reason and a time for that type of book. That's definitely a little bit more mainstream, but that's not what we're talking about here. And as a matter of fact, I think it's key for people to understand, when you're a shook author, it's not even about selling these things, right? This is not about book sales and I'm trying to make money with my shook. These are used as business cards. These are used as giveaways. These are used at events. So yes, you may, end up selling a few shooks here and there, but that's not the mentality. That's not what we're talking about. It's also not about trying to be. I rally against this whole bestseller notion that's out there, and a lot of folks are out there touting you need to be a best-selling author, which in this day and age is pretty much meaningless because of the way
Amazon.
It's done.
These it days. Means nothing.
Yeah, Amazon. Doesn't. Yep. And if you need to be, if you need that to really differentiate yourself, again, I'm not knocking it. It's just not what I'm about. Because you were able to sell a couple books in a certain time frame because you emailed your list and now you have a bestseller for 15 minutes, I don't think the average person really cares. They care about, do you understand what problem I have or what challenge I have or what I want to have, and can you help me with it? And all that other stuff is sort of noise to me.
And listen, I feel the same way about websites. I'm a web developer. I build them in my sleep. I'm a nerd. I admit that. I'm a nerd in stilettos. And here's the thing. I'll ask people, and I'm sure you ask people who are wanting to build a book, if you will, who is your audience? Oh, it's everybody. No, it's not. Mm-hmm. Trust me on this. It's not. It really has to be, what are you doing for them? How are you helping them? How are you solving a problem? How are you advising them? What's in it for them? And I think if more people understood that about the marketing, and that's really what we're talking about here is marketing, isn't it? Because when you're taking this book and you're using it in trade shows or at the back of the stage back of the audience rather, when you're on the stage, there's so much giving it away. That's marketing. It's your business card, more or less, I would think. At least that's the way I'm reading this.
Mm-hmm. I mean, relevancy and laser focus, people want to know in this day and age where we are bombarded. I mean, marketers have just, back in the day, if you research and look at old ads from the 30s and 40s and back in the last century, there was an insatiable want for information, because the way information was distributed back then was slower and there was a lot less opportunities in media outlets, et cetera. Nowadays, we carry a computer in our pocket. So, getting information is literally in our hands, if you will. Getting specific laser-focused information that is just for me and my problem, that's what the person is thinking, that is different. And that's what's so important today in the 21st century, Denise, is that you're not writing to everybody. You are writing to a very specific person. When we work with a client, we go through a very deep exercise on this to make sure the person understands, even before they start crafting the first words of their shook, who am I writing this for and what's the big idea behind it? And that's something that needs some thought. Because yes, if you're just sitting down and saying, I'm writing to every kind of small business owner to help them with marketing, well, guess what? There's 1,000 books on Amazon that do the same thing right now.
When we were doing our pre-interview, I had explained to you what my original thought for my book was, and as I let it go, didn't really work on it because I'm busy. That's always, I'm busy, and I am, but still, I didn't write the book, and that's on me. Then it occurred to me that everybody and their grandmother has now jumped on that particular topic. But of course they did. I didn't write the book. It's my own fault. But something else came to me that is the perfect shook, as I explained to you, and I'm going to be writing it on that topic, which, as far as I can tell, is very pertinent to that industry, but nobody else has jumped on it. I need to talk with you when we're done here. But anyway, my thinking after I realized I'm not going to write that original book. Clearly, I didn't want to because I didn't do it. Whatever my excuses or reasonings were, it just wasn't going to happen. This one is going to happen. And I was like, okay, that's the perfect format for me because I really don't care if I sell a crap ton of them, to put it bluntly, but I do want it in a lot of hands, and I want it in the right hands, which means it's going to be a marketing piece for me. No question.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And that's it. That's it. That is.
And
what
I hadn't
you
looked
just
at it like that, which was my mistake. You know,
right.
That's where I.
Right.
That's
what
where
are,
I made my
mind,
big fall down.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's a mind shift. Different. It, you know, it's it just it requires a shift in the way of thinking. It requires a shift in thinking that, you know, and I'm not saying this is you, Denise, but there's definitely people who say, why, you know, I'm a dry cleaner business owner. Why, who am I to write a book? Baloney. That's putting the emphasis and the focus on you and whether or not you are smart enough, have enough experience. No, it's about helping a person with a specific, you know, who has a specific challenge or wants specific information. And even for that dry cleaner, because I've already talked to this one that is maybe I'll be working with soon here, there is a shook in him. And even on the, no pun intended, dry topic of dry cleaning. So please, you know, for anyone listening, try to remove the focus on you're not smart enough, you're not a good enough writer, you don't have enough content, who are you to write a book? Baloney. If you're helping people, you need to focus on that, you know, those people and how you help them.
Exactly. And I think that's where, you know, a lot of us, we're all guilty of this. Every one of us do this. It's like, who am I to write this book? Mm-hmm. I mean, I've got basically the same book from this author, I bought this one. Borrowed this one. I haven't read that one. What the heck was I thinking? I've got 20 books on the same topic, and I think I can compete with these guys, and then you go into imposter syndrome, which we all do. If anybody says they're not, you know, looking at imposter syndrome half of their day, they're lying to themselves, if nothing else. So I like what you're saying about get over that. It's not about you at all. And I think if we reframe, refocus, as you're teaching us how to do, then you know, all of a sudden when I spoke with you, I've got a new book. It's like, I'll be darned.
There you go.
I'll just be darned. Well, I said it in a pithier way, but you get the point.
Yep, right. I get it. And can I mention one other thing?
Yes, absolutely. This is your show. Keep talking.
Well, I feel like, you know, I want to be cognizant of not, you know, being – I just interviewed someone for my podcast, and he's a very – he knows better. And I asked him the first question, and 15 minutes later, he shut up so I could answer the next question. And, like, it's a 30-minute podcast. And I'm like, oh, yeah. And then I asked the second question, and he talked over me. So I want to be respectful. But you had mentioned about, you know, selling books in the back of the room or giving them away. I'd like to share for the listeners a really, really smart strategy for Main Street business owners to use their shook. And again, the beauty of what we're doing here is that Main Street local business owners, and we do help business owners that aren't Main Street. We do help people that have a worldwide audience. For example, I'm working with a software company's CEO. His software is available around the world. He's still doing a shook, but he has a worldwide audience because he can sell it everywhere. So we either help the Main Street business owner or people who serve Main Street business owners. But the Main Street business owner has very, very unique opportunities that are different than, let's say, the online marketer or the internet marketing experts and gurus. They obviously have lots of, you know, online ways, you know, Google, YouTube, Facebook, all that. And again, Main Street business owners can tap into that, but Main Street business owners have the local touch and the local exposure. So one of the smartest things Main Street authors can do, Denise, to get their books out there, because like you said, it's about getting it out there in as many hands as possible. And I instruct all my local business owners to do this, is to identify strategic partners, strategic businesses that align with their business. So I'll give you an example. Last year, I helped a dentist who's been a longtime client of mine craft a shook. And he is a holistic – well, unfortunately, he's passed away just recently. But he was a holistic mercury-free dentist. So that's a dentist who doesn't use mercury, the silver amalgams, and that's his unique difference. So we helped him craft a shook on articulating all the reasons why you don't want silver in your mouth, the silver amalgams. What he did was he – went and identified like 20 local businesses in his area that had people in them that would align with this holistic health-oriented approach that he takes with dentistry. So yoga studios, chiropractor offices, health food stores. And he put a little display together and just said, hey, can I put a little display on your cabinet, on your point of sale area? You can give these away if you want to sell them for a couple dollars and keep the money. I'm okay with that. But he wanted them to give them away. And within the first 30 days of doing that, Denise, he got three new patients, which in his case was a couple thousand dollars over the, you know, the first year value type of thing. Three new patients that he would not have had otherwise had they not seen his Shook in the health food store, in the yoga studio. So that's something that's very unique to the local business owners, finding other businesses that align and allowing them to give away your Shook in their place of business.
So again, it's about marketing. And here's the thing. Mm-hmm. Look, I work with a lot of clients all over this country, a couple of other countries. Marketing is a problem for a lot. It scares the bejeebers out of most people, largely because they're getting a lot of really cruddy information and advice, but really cruddy. But the thing mm-hmm. is, they don't understand until, you know, we start kind of going down the rabbit hole with them, that being of assistance to other people is really where their marketing sweet spot is. It's not about buy my stuff, you know, pay attention to me, get on my list. Yeah, you need a list, but it's not the only thing you need. My attitude has always been the more you can give away, the more you're going to get back. The more you can help your competition, if you will. Look, yeah, and I told this story not too long ago before I became, you know, the nerd in stilettos. I owned a small antique store and jewelry business. I was a bench jeweler. I made jewelry, believe it or not. And when I first opened my antique store, nobody in town would talk to each other. There was a ton. It's a small southern town. There's a ton of antique dealers around. None of them spoke to each other. I didn't get that. I didn't understand that attitude at all. And I remember having a man come in from Texas, and he was looking for a garmanche, which is basically an old food cabinet made of cypress. He wanted a specific cypress garmanche. I didn't have one, but I had made the round of all of my competitors, and I knew who, you know, kind of what their selling shtick was. And I knew there was one a mile down the road from me. I sent the guy down the road. I get a phone call from this very shocked competitor. He says, why did you do that? And I said, why wouldn't I? He comes from Texas. You know, he was looking for what you had. And over time, we all started sharing information. We created this little pool of who had what and, you know, what their price points were. And it worked. And it never occurred to me that that was not the right way to do business. I suspect that it still doesn't occur to a lot of people. And I think that's a shame. Mm.
Yeah. You know, it's amazing how things kind of happen. But I was just – so I've got a daughter who's a freshman in college, and she's home right now and you know, for the holiday. And we were talking, and I paraphrased a very famous quote, or at least a quote that I think is famous, and I didn't get it quite right. But there's a quote, and I don't know who said it, but essentially it went to the effect of the hole that you receive through is the same size as the hole that you give through. And what that means is, if you are right, I don't know if you've heard that, or again, I'm paraphrasing it, but essentially, if you're going to be stingy with doing stuff for other people, then you should not expect anything different in return. So, you know, and I was trying to teach her a lesson because she was not being stingy, but she was being a little short-sighted in something, and I just wanted to, you know, try to convey to her, like, hey, you can't expect something if you're not willing to do the same thing in return. So it's something like the hole that you receive through is the same size as the hole. Can't be any bigger than the hole that you give through. So to your story, it's the same thing. Like, how cool would it be if everyone sort of adopted that mentality that, yeah, you know, we can help each other. Yes, we're competition, but not every client customer is right for me, but they might be right for you. So I love what you shared there.
I do that all the time. I mean, I turn away actually more clients than I accept for various reasons. Maybe we're not going to be a good fit. Maybe they want something that, you know, I know I can do it, but it really isn't in my wheelhouse, so let's not waste your time or mine. And I'll refer them to one or two other people and get them the right fit that they need. It's really no skin off of my back. It, you know, I didn't take on a client that is going to be unhappy, I'm going to be unhappy with, and hopefully they got what they needed somewhere else, and we're all still friends.
Well, I mean, just your podcast and the fact that you've been podcasting for how many years now, giving of yourself. Yeah, I mean, it's a lot of work. So, you know, thank you. Congratulations. And you're doing it. And you made it very clear on our pre-interview. This is about you, meaning me. And I want to, you know, show you off and I want to help you. And you made it very clear. And that's why, you know, that attitude. I just wrote a book, by the way, Denise, since that pre-interview. Another quick story?
Yes. We've got 4 minutes. Keep going.
Okay. So just last week, I was looking for a unique gift to give some people. People like yourself. People who are willing to help me. And I'm thinking, So one day, one of the things I like to do is capture quotes, you know, famous quotes on specific topics. And I have a bunch of quotes on gratitude and being thankful. So in one day, I collated and curated all the quotes that I had and put a shook together. It's called The Magic of Gratitude. And it's going to be a shook that I'm going to – matter of fact, as soon as we hang up here, I've got to approve the cover. My designer did some beautiful covers. And it's going to be a little shook that I just give away. It's not going to be on Amazon. It's going to be a little thank you shook. But it's going to be just – every page is just one little pithy quote. And it's just meant to be a reminder of if we all could remember that having an attitude of gratitude and being thankful for the blessings that we have and all the opportunities that we have, I just think we would all be in a better place. So again, you know, being a book geek, I just thought I'm going to, you know, so you're going to end up with another book on your bookcase soon here,
all right,
Denise, but yeah, just that
I didn't
want
to ask
there.
Or beg, but I was going to. It's like, do I get
it? Oh, you'll be getting it.
I'm going to be pitiful about
it. But there's a simple way, like even something like that where, you know, even if you don't, you can't even think of a book topic to write, just maybe quotes that are meaningful to you. You just have it on your storefront or in your business and it's, you know, you give them away and it's just something different to differentiate yourself.
I've got to ask you, you're going to think I'm a lunatic, but I have, and I'm not sure if shook is the right thing for this or if it, we even have an audience, but I have this, a group on Facebook called Feline Office Assistants. And if you pay any attention to me at all, you know I've got hashtag Feline Office Assistants, and they're lunatics, every one of them. And I have one in particular. He knows that his name is hashtag Hamilton is an ass, because he is. He really is. He's the neatest cat you're ever going to come across. He's a 17-pound ginger with a mind of his own, and people will always say, Denise, you've got to write a book about these guys. And I'm like, no. And they'll say, how do you come up with these stories? I don't. I'm just the narrator. I cannot make this stuff up. And some of them, I'll go back and read them, Mike, and I'll start laughing at myself because they are flipping funny. They really are.
There you go.
And I'm thinking, can I make a shook out of something as stupid as a bunch of insane cats? I'm serious. Should I do that?
Well, I mean, listen, can you do it just for the – can it be a fun project?
It would just
a
be for the fun,
project?
Yes.
Right?
And it would probably,
and maybe just,
here's my thinking, it would be my practice run.
Exactly. And it could just be – I mean, listen, we – a shook should exist for a specific reason. So like the magic of gratitude, it's a specific shook to be a little thank you gift. It's actually going to be even a smaller shook than what you know, Main Street Authors, a little different size, just to, again, be a little different. So it should have a reason. But yes, I mean, something like that, you can use it just like you said, to get your feet wet, you know, capture these things. You know, can you tie it to a business reason? Maybe, maybe not, but it could be part of your own wow package.
Yeah. I think I can.
Yeah. Oh, I know you can.
Well, yeah, and I'm not entirely sure what it is, but I have a couple of little ideas niggling behind me. So, I mean, Simon's cats, he started doing those goofy cartoons, and geez, he's everywhere. So, and my cats are better. Just I'm gonna put that right out there.
Well, I don't even know if you realize, my daughter, who's the freshman at college, she published a shook last year called Dog Joy. And it had 26 different, 26 different people in it, including herself. It was all about dog rescues. And we went out and found 25 plus herself. 25 people contributed $100 to write about their dog rescue story. She has raised since then over almost $6,000, which she donated to all these different dog rescues. All right. So all this money was raised. It's a shook. You know, you can get it on Amazon, Dog Joy. But more importantly for her, it got her into every college she applied, even though she didn't do it for that reason. Deans of colleges wrote back to her saying, we would love to have an author like you. She's been in magazines. She's been on the front page of several newspapers in our area. That's the power of being an author.
Congratulations to her. And so now I don't feel nearly as insane as I did a minute ago.
No. There's a whole book on dog rescue stories. Yeah, there you go. And you
and
can do the same
sense.
Thing with your cats.
Well, and these two cats are actually brothers. Hamilton's an ass, and his brother is Silas the Good. They came 10 days after my ginger passed away. I mean, they were rescuing me. Interesting. Mm-hmm. And now I've got some more things to think about. You know, we ran out
there
of time.
There you go.
We always do this. What is the one thing that you want people to take away from this interview? And then right after that, tell us you have a gift for our listeners. So what is it and how can they get it?
Well, I'm talking to you, and by talking to you, I'm talking to everybody, Denise. You can do this. That's the one thing. I believe you have a shook, and in your case, you probably have multiple shooks in you. And I would just say make the commitment that you have something to share to help people and get it done, and I'd be happy to help you in any way I could. And then, yes, for the listeners, if you go to mikecapuzzi.com/gifts, G-I-F-T-S, gifts, I will send you a link where you can actually read Main Street Author, the one that you just talked about, right online, free. I'd be happy if you wanted to buy it, but you can read it online free. And I'll also give you the audio version. We just created the audio version of Main Street Author. And then I create these, what I call shook building blocks, Denise. These are something that you can print off and use like a deck of cards to construct your own shook. So there's three neat gifts at mikecapuzzi.com/gifts.
I will be over there. Mike, where can people find you on the web?
Yeah, I mean, my main site is mikecapuzzi.com. So M-I-K-E-C-A-P as in Peter, U-Z-Z-I.com. You can find me at mainstreetauthor.com and bitesizedbooks.com.
And Copy Doodles?
Oh, and of course Copy Doodles, thank you. Yep,
copydoodles.com
too.
Right. Well, Mike, thank you so much. It's been wonderful speaking with you again, and I genuinely thank you for all of the wonderful tips and advice that you've shared with our audience, and I am doing a shook, I promise. So before we say goodbye, I would like to remind – I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was saying I wrote that down. Denise is writing a shook.
Denise is writing a shook. Oh, crap, now I have to do it. I'm going to do it, I promise you, and I promise me. It's important. It's a marketing piece, and you know, I need to do this. So anyway, before we say goodbye, I would like to remind our audience to be sure to look for us in iTunes and anywhere else you consume your business podcasts. Just look for Your Partner in Success Radio and take us along on your success journey. Mike, thank you so much, and Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, Denise. Thank
Get you your voice heard. If you would like to launch your own far-reaching podcast, contact Denise Griffiths at yourofficeontheweb.com and go to the podcast tab.